Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, June 26, 2016, Elder John Melky. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make Him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus won for them. Here's today's message.
Listen once again to the opening verses of the chapter 5 of Galatians. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by yoke of slavery. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. This is God's word. Well, we're only 1 week away from the 4th of July weekend. Are you going to be singing the national anthem that day or that weekend sometime? I doubt that any of you have been chosen to sing a solo at the Brewers game or the Rafters game here in Wisconsin Rapids, but I assume there's quite a few that could do it well. Are you going to be singing it in the crowd when you go to a ball game or some parade event? Will you be maybe singing it to YouTube on your smartphone or laptop? Did you know that there are four stanzas to the national anthem that was sung or written by Francis Scott Key 202 years ago? Some of you are shaking your head, yes. Listen to stanza four. You probably don't hear it very often. No, I won't sing it. Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Actually, all four stanzas end the same way, don't they? O'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Freedom. It's something we all want, but freedom is not free, is it? I don't know the numbers, but it must be in the billions and billions of dollars that our country spends to preserve freedom in our country by keeping those enemies who want to take away our freedom away from us, but they sometimes get in, as we well know. That kind of freedom that we want for our nation's security and well-being is the freedom that we also talk about in our text for today from Galatians chapter 5. If our national freedom is so important for us, our spiritual freedom is even more important. That's why the Apostle Paul reminds us to stand firm. Stand firm in the two freedoms that we have, freedom from sin and freedom for service. Let's see what it means to stand firm in both of those freedoms today. Now, you might think, wow, 21 centuries later or earlier from today, Christians in Galatia must have been pretty strong in their faith. I mean, they had the apostles there, at least some of them. They had their newfound faith. Certainly, they're not going to stray away. But we know well from reading the epistles, the apostles' letters, that the Christians in Galatia were in trouble. False teachers had come into their churches and their synagogues or their places of worship, and these false teachers were trying to tell them that Jesus had not yet done enough to save them. They said you have to continue to carry out those Old Testament laws like circumcision or resting on the Sabbath day. And Paul responded with these words, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace." Quite strong words from the apostle to those Christians in Galatia. Strong reminders that do not give in to those false teachers. Don't give in to that false notion that Christ didn't do enough. How would you feel if on a certain day you prepared a salad, a prime rib that you, of course, purchased from your favorite Schwan's driver, Schwan's ice cream, and invited your friends to come over for that nice meal, only to discover that when they show up, they say, well, thank you very much, but we brought our own food, leftover hot dogs from a picnic. Who would do something like that? It sounds pretty silly, doesn't it? That's exactly what's going on with the spiritual freedoms that they were losing because they're living, giving into the false notions of trying to earn their way to heaven. These Christians in Galatia were struggling, and Paul knew it very well. He wanted them to realize that they were not going to follow the way of the Lord. They're going to lose their faith. And they needed to be firm in their faith and firm in their freedoms that they had from Christ. There's the idea that Jesus had not done enough. Jesus did not do enough. Paying his life blood on a cross wasn't enough. That's what they were told. That they had to do more stuff to earn their way into heaven. Christ didn't do enough to get them satisfaction for their sins to their heavenly Father. And Paul says, no, that's not the case. They were rejecting that message of the cross and an empty tomb. They were rejecting the message that they had seen it all done by Christ himself, and no one had to do anything to make their way into heaven on their own. I suppose another example would be to say that you were given free tickets, front row seats to Paul McCartney concert or Taylor Swift, but you refuse those free tickets to front row seats because you'd rather spend your own hard-earned cash to get a seat in the back row in the upper deck. That doesn't make any sense. But that's what's going on here too. They're not making any sense because they're rejecting the cross of Christ. And Paul was so upset with those Galatian Christians that he warns them to stand firm. Stand firm against those attacks against your sinful nature. Stand firm, because you have this freedom from sin. But of course, Paul understood too that Christians, having been told that they have the freedom from sin, just might want to have the liberty to sin. And that's why he reminds us in our text, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul does not want us to use our freedom from sin as a springboard, or literally, a base camp from which we can dive into a reckless abandon over our sins. Instead, he reminds us that we need to live the opposite of that way. As he says towards the end of the text, is be in step with the Spirit. But those who continue to live in their sin and think they have a freedom to sin, Paul says you're going to show your hatred toward God and what he's done for you in the cross and the empty tomb. And that results in you ending up losing that inheritance in heaven. So although Paul does not give us the idea that we should be free to sin, but rather we want to be free from sin, he also reminds us we want to be free to serve other people. Actually, what Paul says is we want to be free to be slaves to one another. That's literally what it means. To serve one another means to be slaves to one another. Doesn't sound very cool, does it? When you think about slavery, but when you think about it, it really is an accurate description of what we should be doing. Be slaves, willingly slaves to one another. If the whole world was willingly slaves to each other, just think how much better world we would have. Think in the customer service department that I'm in as a Schwan's delivery man. How much more I would, if I willingly slaved over you as a customer, I would not think of you as a nuisance just to get my paycheck. If you willingly served one another as a slave, just think that your brothers and sisters would not be a nuisance to you during the summertime on vacation. Or the husband who nods his head or shakes his head no when his wife wants to sit down for a chat. No, Paul says instead we want to be made the right way, the way God made us. So Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Did you hear those familiar words? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you really possess those traits? You may not think so, but you do. Because notice what Paul says, these are the fruit of the Spirit. Singular, not fruits, not plural, but you have the fruit of the Spirit. You have all of them. You have those gifts given to you by God. But then you might be asking yourself, well, if I'm gentle, then why do I have fits of rage once in a while, which I'm not supposed to be doing? You know why? Because you have that sinful nature that still is attacking you day in and day out. So the Apostle Paul reminds us that we need to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit and enjoy those fruit of the Spirit as we live in service to one another. I guess one way to describe it too is to think about the fruit of the Spirit as a cluster of grapes. You have all of them. It's not like the watermelon you left behind for the picnic. You have all of them there for you as you serve one another in love. You ever been near a vicious dog? You want to stay away from that vicious dog, or at least wait until it's been put on a leash. But if you're a kid, what does the kid want to do on the playground or near that dog when it's on a leash? Wants to poke and prod at it, right? Kind of tease it. We poke and prod at our sinful nature all the time too, don't we? We poke and prod with our sinful nature when we say, God, you're not going to be first place in my life. I'm going to put my spouse there or my child there or my coworker or my best friend or some musical artist or some Hollywood movie star. We poke and prod at our sinful nature when we say, Lord, yes, I'll use your name in the proper way here at worship, but during the rest of the week, I'll use your name in vain. Lord, I'm going to poke and prod with my sinful nature when I decide I'm going to despise your living word and not want to hear it beyond worship. I'm going to poke and prod my sinful nature when I'm not going to respect those who are in authority over me. I'm going to poke and prod at my sinful nature when I decide that I'm going to take something that does not belong to me and I'm going to steal it. I'm going to poke and prod my sinful nature when I decide I'm going to not respect the quality of life. I'm going to poke and prod my sinful nature when I have that uncalled for picture on my smartphone. I'm going to poke and prod my sinful nature when I decide to take something that does not belong to me and not want to give it back. I'm going to poke and prod my sinful nature when I decide I'm going to covet something that doesn't belong to me and I'm not going to respond in kind. The Apostle Paul says we have a sinful nature that's in conflict with each other. And we want to poke and prod just like a kid wants to poke and prod at a dog on a leash. And pretty soon you're going to be bitten. What does Paul say? He says, live in step or keep in step with the Spirit. How do you keep in step with the Spirit? Because you are willing to be free from sin and free to serve God, you're going to say, God, you're number one in my life all the time. Instead of poking and prodding, you're going to say, God, I'm going to use your name properly every single time. Instead of poking and prodding, I'm going to do what? I'm going to not despise your word, but I'm glad to hear and learn it. I'm going to respect those in authority, my parents and authorities in government and in church. I'm going to respond in kind by showing true value of life, the unborn and the elderly. I'm going to show love for God by living a life that shows I have respect for marriage. I'm going to show respect for God when I decide to not take what does not belong to me, but just enjoy the blessings that God has already given to me. I'm going to show respect, love to God, not by gossiping, but by actually showing respect for someone else's opinions. I'm going to show respect for God by only taking what he has given to me as a blessing, and not want to take something that does not belong to me. You see, God says, keep in step with the Spirit. The picture is that of a military parade. My guess is you'll be going to a parade next weekend. You'll see the military with their flags marching down in style. They may stumble because of their military sickness or old age, just like we will sometimes stumble and fall in our faith because we have a sinful nature. But the Lord says, keep in step with the Spirit. Jesus has forgiven you of those sins that you've ever committed against God. You'll see that acknowledged through the Lord's Supper later today, because he wants you to keep in step with the Spirit, because he's going to lead you onto a march that will end up in heaven. Cities will be observing and spending thousands and thousands of dollars on fireworks next weekend. That's kind of neat to celebrate our national freedom. How much more important it is to celebrate our spiritual freedom? No, I don't suggest you go out and buy fireworks to celebrate it that way. But keep in step with the Spirit. And how do you do that? By keeping focused on God's Word. Easy to say, maybe not so easy to do. Keep in step with the Spirit by letting God's Word be your focus and your guide. That may be something as simple as taking 2 to 3 minutes a day to read the meditation booklet, taking time to read the devotional magazine that you've purchased, or the Forward in Christ magazine, or taking that one-year Bible and taking the chance to look at a chapter or two every day. Just some really easy things that we sometimes feel we don't have time for. But that's how we can keep in step with the Spirit. That is how we can stand firm in our faith. That is how we can stand firm from our freedom from sin and our freedom for service. Amen.